Well, for a few moments, I want to speak from Proverbs, which we've just heard Juliet read, Proverbs 3 and Proverbs 16, and also from the New Testament letter of James. Yesterday, I noticed a DVD sitting beside our TV, and it's been there for weeks, ever since the days of optimism during the Rugby World Cup, and it's called Invictus. Some of you will know it, some of you will have seen it. A film based on a poem, a very short Victorian poem, which ends with these wonderful words. You can just hear Morgan Freeman reciting them as the South African rugby team are touring Robben Island. These two lines conclude the poem. I am the master of my fate, the captain of my soul. Now that's brilliant, can-do, positive thinking poetry. Except for the fact that it's not true. We've just seen that. These are the realities of life, friends, that we're speaking about this morning. Events like Friday night in Paris. Dreadful realities that remind us day after day as we watch the news that life is so fragile, we are so vulnerable, and above all, we are mortal. And so this morning I want to speak for these few minutes into this subject that is relevant to every one of us. Where we are fearful, God speaks words of hope and security and assurance. Where we are looking for the way through life, God's word, the Bible, gives us wisdom for life. And if you haven't seen our term card for this series, that's the journey we've been on these Sunday mornings, particularly through Proverbs, God's wisdom for everyday life. As I've been going on the ones I've done, I've been trying to draw on an image that would be relevant and helpful as we're also thinking about what God's word, the Bible, says in word terms. And the image that I've got for today is really to do with your hands, my hands. Whether or not our hands are clenched or open. And I'll be saying more as I draw on that image. But I hope for some of you that will be a very powerful visual aid, even as you stare at your hands. Because Proverbs here provides teaching on guidance through life, which x-rays whether we have closed hands or open hands. I need to say some more. I want to illustrate it from Proverbs 16 on the sheet. Juliet just read it to you. And those few verses. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. We can assume we are navigating life with openness, with our hands open, if you like, with good intentions, all the rest of it. But Proverbs has the knack of digging around in each one of us to check out our deeper motives. Whether or not we are actually living for ourselves with closed fists, or whether we have in fact opened our hands, and particularly in our relationship with God. And as the Proverbs wisdom wants us to open up our hands and commit to trusting Him, and we will add Jesus, God's Son, to that because we come after the New Testament, we come knowing God's plan of salvation. Verse 9, trusting that while we may plan our own course, God has purposes for our lives. It's going to be Him who determines our every step. I used to hear Irene Dimmock, before they moved to Tunbridge, say this. Often she would quote this, whether it was just to me, maybe she said it to you. But she used to say, in five words, man proposes, but God disposes. I've since learned it was one greater than Irene Dimmock, or maybe not greater, but Thomas, I dare not say that, would I really? But Thomas A. Kempis, in The Imitation of Christ, wrote those words. Man proposes, but God disposes. And hang on to that thought as we come back to Proverbs 3, because you'll see from chapter 3, verse 1, that it's framed very much like a parent speaking to the child. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. There's the other picture that we're coming to. It's framed in relationship of a father, a mother, reaching down and holding the kids' hands. And us holding on for dear life, for security, for assurance, for teaching. That's what's going on here. And I don't know if you've ever thought of this like this, but trusting God isn't just about getting all the commands of God into our brains. But that long journey from the head down to the heart, and keeping my commands is the verse, the phrase in chapter 3, verse 1. That isn't just a rule book or a religious textbook to obey. These are the realities of walking and trusting every step of our life. Putting our open hands into the hand of God and allowing Him to lead and to keep us. There's that lovely picture of the child trusting and holding their parent's hand. But chapter 3, verse 3 has it in a different way, another image. And it puts it in terms of jewellery. Very apt for the bride on her wedding day, choosing carefully which necklace to put on, which jewellery to wear that will be seen by everyone. And putting the necklace of God's ways on is the image here. They are always love and faithfulness. And get this, not just for one day only, not just for the wedding day, but day in, day out. And then we come to verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs 3. It's a favourite to many of us who've walked with Jesus for many of our years. A favourite verse, or two verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Again, I want to say this is no formula. But as I unpack God's wisdom for a moment, I want to highlight the fact that these commands are given here. Three instructions, first of all, that you are to do, I'm to do, we are to do. Look at them on the screen. Our responsibility to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, journey with me on this one, friends, because keeping in view that image on the screen of the parent holding the child's hand, and what that means for the child, trusting. You don't need me to define these words, you understand them very simply, but I'd hope just a few comments will amplify them for you. Because trust is the opposite of fear. So when Jesus on the lake one night and the storm comes out of nowhere, Mark chapter 4, right at the end of Mark chapter 4, Jesus is concerned that they show no faith. He's asking them, why are you so afraid? Why? Because fear and trust don't live together. And so, secondly, leaning. Well, you know that's to support oneself. It's the same Hebrew word that is used in Judges chapter 16, where Samson is having to hold his servant's hand because he is blinded. As many people with disabilities, even here this morning, you know what it's like, and it can be hard and painful and debilitating to journey through life where you are having to lean, whether it's on someone or on a stick or on another device. Well, that's what happened to Samson in Judges 16. And he asks his servant to take him to the pillars of the temple so he can lean on them. I realize that's so obvious. But it really does need to challenge our leaning this morning. Think of those pictures of your hands again. Some of you have come to Cambrai this morning, and in a sense, unthinkingly, we just very naturally, by default, lean on our own understanding. We're putting our weight, we're putting our efforts, we're putting our life, our diary, our everything into our own understanding and direction. And the challenge here is, would we be prepared? Would we want to? Would we run to give God everything so that we can lean on Him, our Maker? Thirdly, the word acknowledge is there. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, rather leaning on our own analysis, the Proverbs instruction is to acknowledge God in everything. How, you ask? Well, how about these for a few suggestions? Remembering who God is, that He is so powerful, that in spite of the world crashing in around us, particularly in the last few days, and events that are happening, in spite of things that may come up out of nowhere, like that storm on the lake and Jesus and his disciples, it's how we started the service this morning, to be still and know that God is God, that God hasn't fallen asleep, that he hasn't got his hands off the wheel, but God is God and he's in control. And I wonder if you ever adapted this and applied this to your workplace or to your home life or to your studies. You see, Proverbs 3 is the great reminder that God wants to guide us every step through life. Yet usually we feel so self-sufficient, we'll do it my way, thanks very much. And we get frustrated when we feel our personal needs and weaknesses. And so I wanted to encourage you this morning with this great news, friends. If you're feeling really hacked off and weak and vulnerable and afraid, that's a great place to be. To turn it all over into God. To, in a sense, open up the hands from trying to do it all ourselves. And to ask him. To invite him to come as our Father. To reveal his Son Jesus to us. To show us the way of life and the truth. And all that he has for us. You see, if we're in need of careers advice, think of God as the great careers advisor. Lean on him. Maybe this morning you're in need of a bit of relationship advice and support. Well, think of God as the great counselor that he is. Maybe it's for some it's marital advice and direction that's needed. Well, God, my friend, is the great marriage confidant. Or you're thinking about housing situation and relocating, or whatever. Think of God, if you've never thought of God before. Instead of holding it in like that, open up your hands. He's the great estate agent. What about your finances and resources? Ever thought of God as the great financial advisor? I don't say that flippantly, and please understand me, I'm not negating the work of real life financial advisors or counselors or estate agents or any others in that list. But I've just sensed over 25 years of being a pastor that there are too many Christians who are trying to do it all in our own way and then somehow get God to come and rubber stamp it on top when we've sorted it. He wants to invite us to share our lives with him and to put our hands into his. Friends, on the screen you'll see that was our responsibility. There's the other bit of the deal. God's responsibility. This is what God promises here. He will make your paths straight. Verse 6. God is able to remove obstacles. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Charles Swindoll gives us this recipe for how not to do human guidance. And I like this because it's severe and it's warning. If you want to spend an exhausting day, he writes, try to work out your circumstances leaning on your own human viewpoints. Chase down all the possibilities you can think of. When you hit a dead end street, back out, then turn into another one. Drive fast, then slam on the brakes. Try a dash of panic, a pinch of fear, add a tablespoon of manipulation, 3 cups of scheming, and a handful of impatience. Or trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I want to just point out one thing that's evident in this chapter 3. I never knew it till this week. In verse 9, there is an instruction. It's the only practical, you could say, religious instruction given in the book of Proverbs. Verse 9 says, honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Friends, I just mentioned that. Not as a glib comment, but this idea of offering to our Maker our first fruits, our very best. He deserves them. He wants them. And it's the opening up of the hands in the ordinary, everyday things of life that enables us to say to God, in effect, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, as the hymn writer said. Now, quickly on to James, because James has a good little PS for our Proverbs series. First, just 2 points. One is this. Remember the fragility of our diary and of our planning. James 4, verse 14, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. Now, I don't have the time to highlight the previous verses in James, but they are aimed at a worldly way of thinking that has crept in amongst Christian believers. First century, 21st century. Friendship with the world is how James puts it. And it's interesting because in verse 8, hands crop up again. Wash your hands, he says, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Now friends, here's the secret to each day sort of life. For your diary, we've got to remember we really do not know what a day is going to bring. We really don't. I've got things in my diary as you've got things in your diary for this coming week. There are no guarantees. It's good to remember that. Surely the warning of our age should alert us to this, that we should live better lives before God with hands open. And then verse 13 in James 4, the frailty of our planning. Listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Very simply, let's not be duped into thinking that we are invincible. Do you see the image that James portrays, that of a mist? So fleeting, so temporary. And how that perspective needs to permeate our planning and our lives. Friends, if you need a reminder, go for a walk, as some of us did on Friday afternoon around the local cemetery. And see the headstones. Think of those who are at the top of their ladders in business or in education or in their fields. And they would have been fondly remembered for a few years after their passing. But a generation on, two generations on, people don't remember. And that isn't to be depressive. My final point is just this. Let's gain confidence by holding onto God's hand. You see, James 4, verse 15 says, you ought to say this. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. God willing. I was fortunate to grow up in a church family, a lovely bunch of people around me, and I was always intrigued. In fact, it became part of the language that was spoken among Christians that I knew. They would often say things like DV at the end of a sentence. And they would give the notices on a Sunday about things happening through the week. DV. And I never knew what it meant in literal terms, but I got the impression, rightly, it was basically saying, God willing. Do you know, I didn't even know what it meant because I have no Latin. I had to look it up on Google for this morning. It means God being willing. Deo volente. I hope my pronunciation's correct. But a useful reminder, friends, for how to do life. If the Lord wills, God willing. Not as a sort of formula, as I feel it was perhaps over-employed in my church family. You know, a sort of Christian touch wood. Hope nothing happens. It's not superstition here. This is a genuine dependency upon Christ. That what does the Lord will happen. Deep mysteries as well, drawn into all of this. So the tester I leave you with, is there a dependency on the Lord's will or on my own? Remember, the context of James 4 is not just for church life, but it's for traders, workers, the public sphere. And this reminder, because we so easily forget, God has a will and a purpose for all our lives, which is always the best. My senior pastor who mentored me in my days, first few years of ministry in Richmond upon Thames, used to say this to the church family. It was cutting, but it was a good question. And he would ask, why do we so often live as atheists? Why do we so often live as atheists? Friends, let's not live like that. Let's bring Christ into our lives. Because as we thought of hands this morning, we're now going to think of the hands that were pierced. as God gave his Son into this world for us, for you, for me. In him was such love, such sacrifice. He gave his life in death that we could live. Sins forgiven, hope for the future. So instead of assuming promotions at work, house relocations, schools, and then adding on the church bit, clenched hands or open hands, you decide. But let's do that now before God as we pray. Let's pray together. God, our Heavenly Father, as we gather these thoughts together and respond quickly to you, thank you for inviting us. Thank you that your will is that everyone should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Thank you that you are the truth, Lord Jesus, that in you we have such a beautiful Saviour, such a friend, that you haven't abandoned us just to get on with it, but you've given us your gracious Holy Spirit to come and fill us again and again, to give us that direction through life, to make our paths straight. And Lord, acknowledging that it's not always easy or straightforward, but sometimes very rocky, help us to navigate those rocks and those obstacles, saying that if the Lord wills, and to walk with you and to hold your hand. And lead us now around the table, we pray, that we would have deep, rich meditations on such great love as this. Our servant King. In his name we pray. Amen.